They say that money is a good servant, but a terrible master. And that's especially true when it comes to debt. Hi, I'm Rob West. Surveys show that taking on debt ranks near the top of the list of financial regrets. Debt can make profound changes in your life and have spiritual consequences. Sharon Epps joins us today to talk about that. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, just in case you didn't know, Sharon Epps is president of Kingdom Advisors, the organization dedicated to training your financial advisors on the biblical principles of managing money. Sharon, always a delight to have you on the program.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, we like to keep things simple whenever possible, as you know, Sharon, and you have a great way of doing that when it comes to using money. In fact, it comes down to just four things, right?
Well, I hope we can remember this. It's live, give, owe, and grow. Yeah. And as you know, I like to talk about live, give, owe, and grow as a pie. The reason for that is a pie is a limited amount. And when you make one slice bigger, the other slice has to get smaller. And that's what happens with our money. And so today we'll be talking about owe. And of course, that means debt.
Yeah, and there's often some confusion about biblical principles when it comes to debt. So let's start with what the Bible tells us, or maybe we should say doesn't tell us.
Well, I think we need to think about this in high-level principles and ask this question. Does the Bible say it's wrong to borrow money?
Right.
And the Bible does not say that borrowing is wrong. Debt isn't sinful or evil, but it is enslaving. Hmm. It redefines a relationship between two people. One is indebted to the other, and it can be cumbersome, and it even begins to dictate decisions of the one that's enslaved.
Well, Sharon, as you well know, principles can help us make wise decisions. So what biblical principles guide us on debt?
Well, I'd like to focus on three today. The first one is that we are clearly called to repay what we borrow. Yeah. Psalm 37:21 teaches the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Hmm. Second one is we want to free ourselves from debt as quickly as possible. In fact, Proverbs 22:7 carries this warning: the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave to the lender.
Yes.
And so we don't want to be enslaved. And then finally, the third one we'll look at today is that we're to serve God and not money. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money."
Yeah, that's really helpful. And those are, of course, great reasons to get or stay out of debt. But Sharon, is there a better one?
You know, my favorite one is we want to be free to serve God.
Yeah.
And if I'm enslaved to debt, then I don't have the freedom to make decisions like that. And just a real quick story, my friends Matt and Lisa, they got married and there was a ton of college debt involved when they first got married. They were actually so dedicated to serving the Lord that they took second and third jobs to get out of debt, wow. And now they are free to serve in their giftedness.
I love that. Well, what would we tell someone then who's struggling with debt to do first?
Well, first of all, we want them to pray. We know that when we tell God our heart's desire and it's in line with His will, He helps us to do that.
Yes.
And so we want to commit to do what He asks us to do and ask Him to provide. The second thing is we want to save money. Now, wait a minute. Aren't we talking about debt today?
Right.
We are, but we call the emergency fund debt insurance.
Yeah,
if nothing else, save $1,000. The biggest mistake I've seen is people decide to get out of debt, pay aggressively down, and then have to borrow again because they don't have those savings. And then third thing, we want to pay off all of our credit card and consumer debt first.
Wow, that's exactly right. And if you're struggling to pay off credit card debt, you don't have to go it alone. You can contact our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. They'll put you on a debt management program and get your interest rates lowered so you'll pay off your debt 80% faster. Go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org to learn more. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Sharon, thanks for stopping by.
It's been great to be here.
That was Sharon Epps, president of Kingdom Advisors. When we come back, your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace. But what kind of peace? The ending of wars, or inner peace, or something else? Well, our need for peace today flows from one ultimate reason we lack it, and that's because of our sin. All of us. Sin makes our hearts hostile toward God. But in His great love, God sent His Son to save us from our sin and to bring peace between us and Him. Paul speaks of this in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want this peace? Come to Jesus. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The cell phone is the new transistor radio. Just like your grandfather may have carried his radio wherever he went, you carry your phone with you all the time. Which means you can listen to American Family Radio anytime you want with the AFR app. You'll find live talk programming, 24-hour Christian music, and access to podcasts of all your favorite AFR shows. Just go to the App Store and download the AFR app for free. Your grandfather would be proud.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, it's time to take your calls and questions today. We've got lines open, and you can have the rest of the broadcast. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Lines are open. You can call right now. We're going to head to West Virginia here in just a moment to kick our calls off. But first, in the news today, a key deadline is approaching for folks who are 73 or older and retired. It's the required minimum distribution of December 31st. That's right. You have to start taking a required minimum distribution from your qualified retirement plans after you turn 73, with the first due date being April 1st of the following year. That's just for the first year only. After that, RMDs have to be taken by December 31st each year. Failure to do so could result in a 25% penalty. So these are deadlines you definitely don't want to miss. Your plan custodian should notify you about an RMD that would be appropriate for your particular account and the amounts you need to withdraw. By the way, that amount is determined by a life expectancy table on the IRS's website, multiplied by the balance as of the end of the prior year. Just make sure you get those out so you don't have penalties and fees. Now, you can avoid taxes on those distributions and still satisfy the RMD, but there's only one way to do it. It's called a qualified charitable distribution directly from your IRA to a not-for-profit ministry. So that will not require you to add that to your taxable income for the year, satisfy your required minimum, and get more money into kingdom work if you're sending it to your church or your ministry or perhaps Here to FaithFi or American Family Association. By the way, speaking of FaithFi, it's a great time to talk about giving to the ministry. And I know many of you out there love the program. You tell us that. You've benefited by it. But perhaps you've never partnered with us with a gift. Well, this would be a great time for you to make that first gift of any size. And you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. We're about $88,000 away from our closing out our entire budget year, including that listener support portion as we head toward December 31st. So gifts of all sizes right now are a huge blessing. And on top of that, every gift is doubled. We have a generous donor, in fact, two of them that came alongside us and said, yeah, as the money comes in, you report to us what's come in, and then we'll match it. We're not going to match it until the money comes in, but when it does, we will double it just to reach more people with this important message. So this is a critical time for a lot of reasons. FaithFi.com, just click give, and we'll thank you in advance for that. All right, let's dive into some phone calls today. Let's begin in West Virginia. Johnny, you'll be first up, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Good morning. Really appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
I have a home that's already paid for. We've lived in it for 30 years. We're selling it, trying to get close to our daughter and grandbaby. Trying to get $135,000 out of it. We're purchasing a manufactured home, double wide, for about $150,000. Short from about $15,000. 401k is about all I have. A baby boomer, so put all my eggs in one basket.
Yes, sir.
Are there any tax implications on the $135,000 if I get that out of it? If you're purchasing another home.
Just based on what I'm hearing from you, and by the way, it doesn't matter what you do with the money. That has no bearing on it. But based on what you're describing, it doesn't sound like there'll be any taxes due. The only tax you might have would be a capital gain. But here's why I don't think that will apply. If from the date of sale, going back 5 years, you lived in that home for as your primary residence for the majority of the year, for two out of any of those 5 years, then you're entitled to exclude, as a married couple filing jointly, $500,000 in gains, not the selling price, gains, so profit. So the selling price minus the original purchase price and any permanent improvements that increase the value. So if it's under $500,000 and you can satisfy that requirement of two out of the 5 years as your principal residence, then that $135,000 is well under the $500,000 you would have allowed.
Great. That's what I was hoping. Also, I gotta say the new home, about $150,000, I would have a shortfall if we take the whole $135,000 and put on it. I'd like to pay it off completely, the new home. But $135,000, I want to have a shortfall of $15,000. I have a 401k. Like I say, I'm a baby boomer. I'm all my eggs in one basket. And should I take that out of 401k or maybe try to finance that little bit? Or
yeah,
I have an
yeah.
emergency fund of about $3,800. That's about all we have.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's good, and that's helpful background. So what do you have in that 401k roughly today?
About $240,000.
All right. And what is your age?
61.
All right. And how long, just based on what you know today, do you think you'll keep working in your current job?
I'm hoping not to retire until full retirement age is about 67. But we'll see.
Yeah. So another 6 years.
My health hold out.
Got it. Yeah. So you wouldn't have a penalty, but it would be added to your taxable income. But even worse than that is, you know, you're just not going to have that $15,000 growing any longer for you, which is, you know, you're going to need every bit of that and what you can add to it over the next 6 years. And, you know, hopefully if you can wait as long as possible, perhaps maybe you work even a few years longer and delay Social Security and you get that check up 8% a year for every year you wait. You know, I would rather you leave that there. So I think in my mind, I'd rather you get that small mortgage, leave that money in the 401k,
and then, you know, just try to pay that off as quickly as you can, rather than pulling it out, pay the tax on it, and now you've got $15,000 less working for you over the next 6 years on a tax deferred basis.
Okay, great. I have one more question, if you don't, if you have time.
Yeah, go for it.
We're saving for our saving for our granddaughter. We got about $2,000 in there, and I've listened to you for quite a while. High yield savings or a Timothy fund or maybe a CD. I know the high yield savings are beginning to come down some, but still better than regular bank. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I think it really just depends on what the time horizon is on it. I mean, it sounds like she's young, but I think, you know, if you can determine what the age target is on when you'd give this to her and what the purpose is it specifically for college, or do you want it just more generally available as a blessing to her? Give me a little further information on how you're thinking about that.
Well, she's only 17 months old.
Okay.
And I was looking for college or whatever she wanted to do with it by the time she's about 18.
Yeah, got it. So I really like putting it in a mutual fund. I mean, if you wanted to earmark it for college and or, you know, if she doesn't go to college or, you know, then she could roll it into a Roth IRA and kind of seed a retirement account that, man, although she wouldn't get immediate use of it, what a blessing that would be for it to grow on a tax-free basis, you know, when she's 18 for 50 years. Imagine what that would turn into. But if you don't want to be limited and you wanted her to have it to be able to put toward the purchase of a car, or, you know, be able to save it and use it much sooner than that for, you know, when she gets out of college for her first apartment or, you know, something like that, then you're going to want to keep it out of the 529. And I'd probably just keep it in your name, but earmarked for her. And I like the idea of you investing it. I mean, we've got a minimum, it sounds like, of 18 years. And even then, depending on her spiritual and financial maturity, you may or may not want to just turn it over to her. And so I think, yeah, Timothy funds could be a great option where you've got some faith-based investments. They're growing, you know, they should do well and compound over the next, 18 years. And then you'd have something substantial you can hand off to her. If you were comfortable with the college and or Roth IRA option, then I'd go to savingforcollege.com, find out which state's 529 is the best for you, and then do that. All right.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you.
You too. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, helping you see God as your ultimate treasure, managing money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. You know, we started today by talking about debt and principles for debt. Ron Blue, one of my mentors, has some rules for borrowing. He points out that, first of all, nowhere in Scripture does God meet the needs of his people through a loan and never encourages it. In fact, it's never spoken of positively in God's Word. We see passages like the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the lender's slave. Proverbs 22:26, do not be one who shakes hands and pledges or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. God's Word doesn't mince words on that one. So how do we think about borrowing? Because it's not a sin, but there are clear warnings in Scripture. And let me just share a couple of these four rules. I'll get to all four of them throughout the rest of the broadcast today. First, borrowing always mortgages the future. That's principle number one. So therefore, the economic return must be greater than the economic cost when we're borrowing. So let's think about that. Just let me say that again. Because borrowing always mortgages the future, the economic return, the money we'll get on the money we borrow, has to be greater than the cost to service it. So where is that appropriate? Well, when you borrow in a business for working capital to grow the business, the economic return is greater. When you buy a house that appreciates, you borrow to buy it, to live in it, but also it's an asset that's appreciating. The economic return is greater than the economic cost. Where does that not work? Putting going out to dinner on your credit card. There is no economic return on that economic cost, especially when we don't pay it off at the end of the month and we end up paying interest on it to fund lifestyle spending. You get the idea. So that's rule number one. Here's rule number two, and then we'll get back to the phones. Never presume upon the future. Therefore, there must be a guaranteed way to repay what is borrowed. Let me say that again. Never presume upon the future. That's the principle. Therefore, there must be a guaranteed way to repay what is borrowed. How is that possible? Well, again, if you buy, let me use my house example, you borrow to buy a house, you've got the collateral of the house that could be sold to satisfy the note. Same with a car that's not upside down. You get the idea. So two of the four principles, rules, if you will, for borrowing that can help you keep out of the danger zone when it comes to borrowing. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll go to Florida next. Christiana, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks again for having me on your show.
Yes, ma'am. Sure.
So I have an IRA for $12,300. Which would mature on March 11, 2025. And then I have another small one for $6,760, and that's going to mature, I think, sometime soon. And so I'm just calling because if I have to withdraw a couple thousand, maybe to help me pay some extra on my mortgage, how would that affect me tax-wise,
Sure. Well, if you wait until the CDs that are inside the IRA mature, then you're not going to have any penalty on that. You'll have some, well, and you won't have any taxes on the interest either because it's accruing interest inside the IRA. Where you'll generate a taxable event is when you would take a withdrawal from a traditional IRA. Christiana, what is your name? Your age?
I am 63.
Okay.
I'll be 64 in March.
Okay, great. So if you're over 59 and a half, which you are, you will not have a penalty. So the only tax you would have is whatever portion you pull out would be taxable as income. So it'll be added to your taxable income for the tax year that you take the withdrawal. So if you take $2,000 out this year, when you file your 2024 taxes, you're going to have to add $2,000, the amount you withdrew, to your taxable income for the year. And then whatever your marginal tax rate is at that point, let's say it's 22%, you'll have to pay taxes to the government on that money. And naturally, that money would no longer be available down the road, you know, for you to continue to invest and grow because it would have been used. Now, if that's perhaps what it's there for, and so that's not necessarily a problem, but just, you know, keep in mind, you will have to set aside that portion that will be due as taxes when you file your return. So let's go back to my example, $2,000. Let's say you're in the 22% tax bracket for that portion of your income. That'd be, you know, roughly $450 that you'd owe out of that $2,000. Does that make sense?
Can you repeat that? That last part, how much you said?
Well, yeah, I won't know for sure, but if you took $2,000 and let's say, and it just depends on how much total income you have and what your tax bracket is, but let's say you're at the 22% tax bracket, that would be $440 on $2,000.
Wow. Yes. Okay. And so I am on a small social security I get, which is about $821 a month. Plus, I probably, would have a total annual income of about $19,000. But I'm on Obamacare health care, and they said you have to work for at least $22,000 a year. So it's kind of puzzling when all of that is into play, you know, and I really am not sure if I should take the $2,000 and add it to income, which I didn't make up to $22,000.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like if you're under the standard deduction, you may not really have any taxes. Because the 2024 standard deduction for single filers is $14,600. So until you make over $14,000, you really don't have any taxes. And even then, you're probably, only in the 12% bracket. So now all of a sudden, we may be talking about, only about $250. The way to find out would be you could connect with a CPA and just kind of run these numbers by that person. But it may be that there's very little here just based on the amount of income you're describing. But bottom line is it will be added to your taxable income. And so that's what you have to determine as a next step. Christiana, thanks for calling today. We'll be back with much more right around the corner. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Now buried under more recent news, Joe Biden's pardon of his son is no less a serious legal and moral issue. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and constitutional attorney David New as we consider the broad implications of Joe Biden's shameless Hunter pardon as we carefully discuss the theme of pardons and qualified immunity, promoting justice or institutionalizing corruption. Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the Faithfi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Well, we're $88,000 away from reaching our year-end listener support goal. You can help us get there. Every gift doubled between now and December 31st to FaithFi. We are going to need some of those larger gifts. So let me just take a second and talk to those of you out there who have a bit more in the way of capacity. You can make that $1,000 or $2,500 or $5,000 gift. All of those will be doubled as well. Would you prayerfully consider that today and then go to faithfi.com, just click give, and help us reach that goal so we can continue this work to serve you and equip you as a steward in the new year. All right, back to the phones here in just a second. But let me mention, coming up in the next segment, Walker Wildman's going to stop by from the American Family Association. You know him well. He's going to talk about some of the work he and Jerry Boyer have been doing in the area of corporate engagement, particularly as it relates to one of the largest corporations in the world, Apple. He'll tell us the latest in what AFA has been doing to engage with Apple to express biblical values here straight ahead. But in the meantime, let's go to Louisiana. Kenneth, you'll be next up. Go ahead.
Hey, man. Hello.
Hi there. How can I help you?
Hey, do good. So we got inherited quite a bit of money, more money than I was ever expecting. But my wife did. And right now we done received $58,400 in, you know, checks from a trust. So that the granddaughter's already kind of sent out those checks. But one, I want to tithe the 10%, but do I need to wait for taxes first?
Well, you shouldn't have any taxes on that, at least federally. There is no inheritance tax. Any taxes that would be due on that inheritance would be paid by the estate. And most estates aren't paying inheritance or aren't paying estate tax because that really doesn't kick in, at least right now, until you have an estate valued at more than $13 million. So there really shouldn't be any tax due. So the question would just be for you would be essentially related to, you know, when you receive the money, because if you're receiving assets, you know, you, although there's an increase there, it's not liquid. And so, therefore, you know, it's more challenging to tithe on it. But with the cash portion, obviously, you could just turn around and give a gift of a tithe right away. And I think that's a great opportunity. If you know where you want it to go, Kenneth, I would just make that gift directly. If you don't, one thing you could do would be to put it into what's called a donor-advised fund, which is essentially like a charitable checking account, where you'd get the full deduction on the amount that you put into the donor advised fund, and perhaps that would allow you to get above, well, it certainly would, get above the standard deduction for the year so you could itemize, get more tax benefit, and then you could give it away over time as you grant it out of the donor advised fund to 501c3 ministries like your church or other charities. So that's another option. But I think the bottom line is, as the money is received and realized in a form that can be converted to cash and made, and then a gift can be made, a tithe can be made, I would just go ahead and do that, and there really shouldn't be any tax implications.
So it doesn't add to your income, your yearly income?
An inheritance does not. No, there is no tax due on an inheritance. At least federally, you could check with your state and see if there's an inheritance tax.
Okay. And then, like, one other question. I mean, like, what's the best option to do with that? Because, I mean, me and my wife, I'm 29 and she's 31. And so we're going to tie up our 10%. But then what do we do with that? Should we just leave it in the high yield or should we?
Well, I think it just depends on the rest of your financial life and starting with your values and your priorities. And you've already established one of our values is to be a faithful giver to the Lord, and that's great. And so that's driving that tithing decision. Well, what's next? Well, we want to have a solid financial foundation. So the first question I would ask is, do you have an emergency fund equal to 6 months worth of expenses?
We do. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Great. And are you contributing to your retirement plan at work if you have one available?
That's just it. We do not have that.
Okay.
We don't have any retirement.
Okay. No problem. And the good news is you're young, and so you got time on your side. Do you own a business, or what is your work situation?
No. I mean, I don't own a business. I work for a boat company. My wife works two jobs for a hospital.
Okay. All right. But neither of you, even though you're not contributing, do you have access to a retirement plan at work, or do they just not make that available?
Yeah, not where I work. And her, mm-hmm. She works for like a contract company, so she's had some, but
okay.
She probably has about three of them, but they're kind of out there in the wind because she hadn't worked for that hospital in a couple of years, you know?
Got it. Do either of you get paid on a 1099 basis, or are you both W-2?
W-2s.
Okay. All right. So the first thing you'd want to do is at a very minimum, you want to open a Roth IRA, each of you, and put in the full amount, which, for 2024 is going to be $7,000. And, you could put that in now or anytime before you file your 2024 return. So between the two of you, that's 14 grand. And then you could turn around and make the same contribution for 2025 as soon as we turn the calendar year. The IRA contributions are staying the same, $7,000 for 2025. So, between 2024 and 2025, between the two of you, you could put away $28,000 in two Roth IRAs, $14,000 apiece, and that would get you started. If you aren't going to have access to a retirement plan, then we need to look at some other options, perhaps when you're able to. So you can get something growing on a tax deferred basis, but that would at least get you going in the right direction. And then once the money's in there, then you'd have to pick some investments. I'd probably pick some mutual funds that have a good track record. If you want them faith aligned, you could look at some of the faith-based investing fund families like Timothy and One Ascent and Praxis and Guidestone and Eventide. And I can give you a list of those if you're interested, but that would be the direction I'd go at a minimum.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Let me do this. I'm going to send you a book. It's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook that will just give you some good insights on, how to think about investing for your future. It'll be our gift to you. I think it'll be a blessing to you. And then if you want to get those IRAs open, I'd probably do that at Fidelity or Schwab, one of the discount brokerages. Make the contribution. And then if you want to download a list of those faith-based investing fund families to look at, you can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. Thanks for your call, Kenneth. Lord bless you, my friend. To Indiana. Hi, Rob. How can I help?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Yeah.
So I have been recently laid off indefinitely, and obviously indefinitely laid off as no issue of my own in terms of what I did. It just, they had to scale back at this company. And I've got quite a few little bullet points trying to understand. 50 years old and career job gone, and I've got a 401k, and then I've also got a separation package. And I've got a car with 300,000 miles, and a credit card that has some debt to it. So I'm just trying to understand. This is a big change, big flip of money, trying to figure out what the proper directions are to go with it, with the separation package, and then the 401k, because I know I need to roll it somewhere, but trying to understand the proper place to go with it, because then I also have a personal Schwab account.
Got it. All right, that's helpful background. Stay right there. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break, and Walker Wildman will join us as well. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Yeah, as we think about managing God's money, we know, just based on Scripture, that it's one of the primary rivals to our heart. Just look at the parable of the sower. What caused the seed to be choked out from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return? The deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. Money is not bad. Remember, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's a good gift from God. But if it becomes the object of our affection, that's where we have a problem. So we want God to be our ultimate treasure and then use money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. We'll talk about one of the ways we can do that through corporate engagement here in just a moment when Walker Wildman stops by to update us on some of the work AFA's been doing with Apple, one of the biggest companies in the world, here in just a few moments. But first, before the break, we were talking to Rob in Indiana. Rob was laid off from his job. They shrunk their workforce. But on the way home from work, he got a call with a new employment opportunity on a contract basis that's going to continue to provide for his income. To God be the glory for that. He's 50 years old, wondering what to do with the severance he's going to get that's a lump sum and a 401k. But Rob, you know, given the fact that you have this new employment lined up, you know, your bills are covered for the time being. And so really, I guess the main question is just what to do with the 401k and the lump sum severance in terms of how to think about that vis-a-vis investments. Is that your main question at this point?
Yeah. The 401k, and then I have a small Schwab account as well. So, you know, running a vehicle that has 300,000 miles, you're sitting there looking at that, and a credit card that has some debt on it. And so you're looking at those two things specifically as well, going, okay, where's the proper way to put the money? Because the credit card does have a higher interest rate. And so that's where I was like, okay, that usually you want to get rid of first, but you got a vehicle that may go at some point shortly, and it's not causing any issues now. It's running great still, but you know, that high mileage at some point.
Yeah. No, great points. And I think you're exactly right. We want to just take this in priority order. First, just be thankful to the Lord for his continued and gracious provision in your life. Number two, yeah, we want to knock out that credit card debt just as soon as you can. So I would say that'd be the place to go. If you can just go ahead and pay that off out of that lump sum severance, I'd say do it. And let's get rid of that high interest debt. So now that's gone. And then let's start saving. Now, if that car with 300,000 miles is still running, you're not putting a bunch into it in terms of maintaining it. And it sounds like just from my notes here, you're able to do some of that handiwork yourself, which is great. Let's just drive that thing till the wheels fall off, right? So that's a great opportunity just to maximize that asset that has lost all of its depreciation and wait until you need to absolutely buy something when it makes sense. So I would shore up your emergency fund after you pay off the credit card debt, you know, to get up, you know, I'd hang on to that full amount that you're going to get as a lump sum for the severance for the credit cards and the emergency fund. Let's delay the car purchase. And then that 401k, I'd roll that to an IRA and, you know, let's get that invested. If you've got a plan for that, great. If you don't, you could use one of the faith-based investing funds like Timothy or the others. And if you want a complete list, just go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. And you could download a PDF with all those investment options. But I think that'll get you pointed in the right direction. I'm sorry to hear about that job, but grateful that the Lord continues to provide in the midst of it. Rob, thanks for your call today. We will have time for perhaps one or two more questions before we round out the broadcast today. So if you have a financial question, now would be the time to call 800-525-7000. But with me right now is Walker Wildman from the American Family Association. Walker is certainly no stranger to these airways, as he hosts his daily program and all the incredible work he does here at AFA. And one piece of that is what he has been doing as of late on behalf of AFA with our good friend Jerry Boyer in the area of corporate engagement, engaging with literally the largest companies on the planet, expressing Christian values on behalf of the American Family Association. And we've been updating you on some of the conversations that have been happening over the last couple of years now with Apple, but that continues. Walker, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Rob. Glad to be on the program to talk about this important topic.
Yeah, it really is important. As we've said before, and Jerry has reminded us, you know, almost more important than what happens in Washington, certainly more important than Hollywood, is what's happening in the boardrooms of the biggest corporations in America, because it's driving so much of our culture and where this nation is headed, which is why this work that AFA is really pioneering, even way out ahead of just the other biggest ministries in the world, has been so successful. Give us an update on what's happening with Apple.
Yeah, so we've got a shareholder proposal, a resolution that is scheduled to be on the ballot at the next Apple annual shareholder meeting. And Apple's tried to fight this through some different protocols and alternative ways of kind of removing shareholder proposals from the ballot. But we're right before the SEC, and we believe we'll prevail on that. On that front. So Lord willing, we'll be on the ballot at Apple's next shareholder meeting with a proposal dealing with child sexual abuse material, otherwise known as CSAM. And Apple, several years ago, Apple ditched the plan to deploy CSAM scanning technology within their iCloud accounts, within their iCloud profiles that every user has. And they kind of couched it as a privacy issue and really kind of took the easy way out and didn't explain sufficiently why they ditched these plans to deploy this technology, which would undoubtedly protect thousands of children that are being victimized around the country and around the world. So we want Apple to do a full assessment. That's what our resolution is asking, a full assessment as to why on earth they sidelined this important project that would help authorities detect child sexual abuse material. And yeah, as part of this kind of microscope that we put on Apple, we've realized that their general communication safety standards are not up to par. They're currently allowing teenagers age 13 to 17 to access pornographic content in the iMessage app on their devices. So this there's a lot that Apple can do to fix the vulnerabilities that they have.
Yeah, Walker, just based on your experience in working with them, how does this play out? I mean, I know in the past you've had the opportunity to actually present before the board at a shareholder meeting. In other cases, these just appear on the ballot and you write some commentary that goes along with it. What are you hoping will come out of this particular initiative?
Well, I'm hoping that Apple will sit down at the table and give some serious concessions to how their technology is developed and develop it in more of a way that protects children. And look, we're Apple shareholders. AFA owns Apple stock. So we like the company. We think it's a good company. We think the return on investment is there. We think it's obviously one of the most successful tech companies in history. So there's a lot of bright things about Apple, and they do some good when it comes to giving parents the ability to protect their children on their devices, but there's so much more that they can be doing. And so that's all we're pointing out, is that Apple can do so much more. So whether it's this resolution or whether it's our, you know, private conversations that we're currently engaging in with Apple's executives, they've got to do more to protect minors and to enable parents to protect their children. And so that's our overarching goal here.
Well, Walker, well done. Once again, you're shining a light on a really important topic. AFA's out there leading in the culture in this area. And man, the implications of this, just given how many iPhone devices are out there, is just astronomical. So we appreciate you representing biblical values in the marketplace. Walker, this is just one example here at year end as folks are thinking about giving appreciated stock and giving of assets. I mean, a gift to the AFA Foundation really supports this work, but so much more, right?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. We're taking America's voice and the voice of Christian America into corporate boardrooms all over the world and all over the country. And we're bringing, honestly, opinions that they may not hear very often because they're in kind of this echo chamber of Silicon Valley or Wall Street. So if you want, your voice in corporate boardrooms around the country, AFA is a great ministry to support as we're doing just that.
Yeah. Excellent. Walker, we appreciate the update. We'll have you back next week and continue to follow this through. Merry Christmas, my friend.
All right. Merry Christmas, Rob. Thank you, brother.
All right. Let's head to Ohio. We've got just a few moments left. Estella, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just have a question. We have an adult daughter that lives with us. She's 22, and the only really financial responsibility that she has is her car insurance. She does have a car that she bought used, so that's paid. But her car insurance and her groceries and things like that. So we were wondering if it's biblical to begin to charge her rent to live up in our home. She doesn't really seem motivated to go out there. So one, I wanted to know, is that a biblical thing to charge your adult child rent to live with you? And if so, how do you come up with the right dollar amount?
Yeah, that's great. I think it absolutely can be. I mean, you've got to take each of these situations separate. In some cases, folks will say, listen, we're going to cover the expenses, but there's a deadline here. And we're going to communicate clearly that this is a 6-month thing or this is a 12-month thing, and then you need to be on your own. Others will say, no, we don't want to make it too cozy for you to be here and not develop your own responsibility and get on your own and save and work hard. And so, we're going to charge you some rent. Now, in terms of establishing the amount, I would probably look at the amount of space she's occupying, just like if you were going to rent out through Airbnb a room. You can determine what percentage of the house that is and back into a number. Now, the other option is you could take that money without even telling her and put it in a savings account and then bless her with that as a gift on the way out the door. Doesn't mean you have to keep it, but I don't think there's anything wrong biblically at all with you deciding to charge rent and keeping it. I think the big thing is communication. You want to communicate clearly and even put it in writing so there's no hard feelings and misunderstandings. Estelle, I think it's a great idea. Thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. If you want to support our work here at FaithFi, just go to faithfi.com and click give. Every gift doubled till the end of the year. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Jim, Devin, and everybody here at FaithFi. And we will see you next week. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.